We're just following up, and we just started talking a little bit about how this registers in us. And I think what you began to share, Donnie, I think it's normal to have kind of fearful for unknown territory. When the children of Israel were told to walk through the Red Sea, you know, that sea was piled up on both sides. And if you had walls of water on both sides, it could be pretty terrifying. And they walked through. And when the priests were told to get to the edge of the water and put their foot down on the water, and when the foot touches the water, it'll separate, but there was no guarantee except faith. I think fear is natural, but I think the difference between an overcomer and one who is not an overcomer, both can have the fear. But the overcomer makes the choice, well, fear will not define or rule me. But I think what you were sharing is what you made the choice about in 2015. I think that's really important. So go ahead.
Well, I mean, that's just it. It's like, so I kind of feel like back in 2015, I kind of took that big step forward. Like, I don't want my life to be small. I had been listening to all those tremendous recordings, stories of these, especially these ladies, and I mean the phenomenal faith and so forth, and I didn't want to live small. Yeah. And I stepped out in faith and invited this young lady into my home for a few months, and she was accessed and all kinds of stuff, and I haven't been the same since, but it's okay because God wants to deal with me. But it's ever since then, and I've been thinking about this, because ever since then, I've been different. Like, I just kind of like, when I hear something like this, it's like, it makes me like, what is it? You know, it's, I can't even define. It's not like something tangible I can touch and say, this is what I'm afraid God's going to require of me. You know, it's just, and yet I can say by personal experience that when I give God permission to do whatever he wants to bring me onto his higher ground, his ways are loving and tender. It doesn't mean they're easy, but they're loving and tender. And it's always good, but it may not temporarily feel that way. So I still want to say yes, and I still choose to say yes. But I don't know. I think it maybe is a little bit of a trigger point for me, like kind of sets something off for me, like, okay, what is it I'm really dealing with here? And maybe there is, I think, maybe a bit of a stronghold left there in me of, it's like I know God, and I've said this how many times, I prayed this even when I pray for somebody, I say, God, if you can part the water for the Israelites to walk through, surely you can do this for this person. This is not any greater than that. You did that for them. I'm looking for you to do something as significant as that in this person's life. Whether it's overcoming addictions, whether it's seeing a captive set free, because there's many kind of captives, yeah. I believe he can. But am I willing, if it requires something of me? You know, maybe he says, well, I'm willing to do this, but I also use human vessels. Oh, really? I'm pretty tired now, Lord. You know, the battle's been long, and it's been really hard. And really, I'm just very weary, and I have nothing in myself, and I guess maybe what I'm saying is go ahead and do that. I want to see you do that. But I really, you know, he's like, no, I require something of my people. And then I look at our little group here, and this is where I can look at the human side of it. And I say, we're seven little people here right now. Everybody is stretched kind of full max most of the time, you know. And so humanly speaking, that's what I see when I look at us. So when you talk about, we're going to be doing more of this way, it's like, oh, no.
Well, I didn't say we, okay. I said I.
Yeah, okay. That's how I can start thinking. So that's looking at the human side of it. And then it's like, but what about him being released in us? Because humanly speaking, none of us can reach into our pockets. If we took what's in Addie's pocket and Sally and Diane's and Doug and Lori's and Ivan and Connie's pockets, and we dig, empty them all out and put it on the table, it wouldn't come anywhere close to meeting the need. So that's then brings me back, so I'm just kind of processing through this. Then that brings us back and casts us upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and am I willing to say, here I am, take all of me. Take all of me, just do what you need to, and let your life be released in me and all of us. And so I guess that's where I settle then, having said all the other, it's like that's where I arrive.
Well, whatever our five loaves and two fishes represent, are we willing to give them to the Lord? Because that's our limitation. Five loaves and two fishes, that's not enough to feed anybody. That's to feed one. That's one lunch for one little boy. So what do we have? You know, what is that in your hand? Like Major Thomas when he gave the message. What is that in your hand? Well, five loaves and two fishes. Are you willing to give that to me? And so the boy gave up his lunch. Did he get to eat? He got to eat, but not only did he get to eat, you know, probably 30,000 got to eat. So if we give what we have, if we look at what we have, it's not enough. It's not enough, but when it's put in hand, he multiplies. So we don't have to have a lot. It's the multiplication. So he's looking for that which we will allow him to multiply. So, you know, that's just where... You know, when we get the message, when we hear back from Tuesday from Lee and there in Maine, soon I find out what the message is, we can all play it. And I'll listen to it. And it's this guy that gave a message on five loaves and two fishes, and it's just done. It's just absolutely amazing. And I think the repentance is where we still are, we have some reservation. We want to qualify this kind of faith, and that's where we need to repent. We're not broken. If we try to qualify this, we're sitting in judgment over God. You know, we're in an arrogance. No, we need to get really low. Say that that rock is how higher? How much higher is that rock than us? Infinitely higher. And we move up into a little next little increment. It's big to us, but it's still way below him. And so for us to move into that, which is going to see his release in this generation, and there are so many captives, you know, like you mentioned, huge captives. So if we reckon on our five loaves and two fishes and hold on to it, it's going to stay that way. If we let it go as it is, well, you can multiply. I don't know where this is going to go, but all that I am and have is yours. We start stepping on into a new level of faith, which is already in him, then he's going to start multiplying.
It makes me think of the lady with the oil, where Elijah, was it Elijah or Elisha, came and he needed food, and she knew she had just enough food for her son and her to have one more meal, and then they would die. Yeah. And then she says, okay, my natural tendency would be like, well, what am I going to feed my family tomorrow?
Well, he said, feed me first.
Yeah, and he says, feed me first. So that's faith. She steps out, and then she had all she needed all through the famine. So it's kind of that applies with what we heard today.
Yeah, the oil never ran out. And I've heard, that reminds me of a message, not a message, but a testimony, I don't know, this is the voice of the martyrs who I heard, but when the communists took over in China, the husband was arrested and the only breadwinner. And so this mother is left with two children. I think one was, about nine, and the other was about six. I mean, they were both children. And she was left there to tend to the children, and whatever little food she has wasn't much. Well, she goes out one day to do what she's doing, and I don't remember what her errand was. I don't know if it was to get food or whatever it was. They apprehended her, and she didn't return home. These children are left there. Of course, can you imagine what this is like for her? What are my children going to do? And she's a Christian. And I don't remember how long she was in. It was several months. And she went back home. She didn't know if she's going to find her children there. She didn't know what to expect. She goes back home, And the older daughter had been taking care of the little girl. And, of course, not knowing where the mother went, they had their greetings, and, "Mommy, what happened?" And then she dawns on him and said, "How have you been living?" I says, "Well, I don't know. We just, whatever food you left, it's still there." That's all they said.
The bowls kept filling.
The food that they knew is whatever the food the mom left is that little bit was there. Every time they go back to get it, it never ran out. And the kids didn't even think anything of it. Well, mom left it there. 6 months later, it's still there, mom, It's like then she knew that God had miraculously saved her children. God, and their children didn't even know it was a miracle.
God had answered her prayers.
Yes. Yeah.
Because believe you me, that's what a mother would do, is pray day and night for her children.
Yeah. So, there is that with, God, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says that he upholds or sustains all things, the entire universe, by the word of his power, the verbal expression of his power. So there's a couple things. When God created, he spoke the entire universe into being. In other words, there's nothing. They call it ex nihilo. God created the heavens and earth. There was nothing there. He speaks and it comes into existence. So the entire heavens and all that's contained is comes into being by the word of God, which is creative. But there's another miracle, that creation is initiated by the word of God. Everything was created by him, for him, and through him, Jesus Christ, Colossians 1:16. But what about creation and its being sustained? So Jesus sustains the entire universe by the word of his power. So it means to be carried and borne along. And so that is the faith that if we step into a higher level of faith in Jesus Christ, we step into the one who, present tense, is upholding all things by the verbal expression of his power, to stepping into creative activity. And so whenever miracles occur, it's just God, who is creator, bringing into being in time that which is just an extension of what he did at the beginning. It's not even a miracle for God. I mean, this is what he does. We see it. Wow, I've never seen that happen before. Well, he's upholding all things by the word of his power. So there are things that, and I think about Paul's life. There's different things. We'll cover this when we look at this later on today, I think, as we go into this. Just looking at the life of Peter and Paul. We will look at more of that, which will hopefully build faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we need to hear the word of God. So anything else? I want to comment on the impossibility. Paul told Timothy, be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. That's how it's translated, but that isn't how Timothy heard it. When Paul told Timothy, be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus, this is how Timothy heard it. Timothy, my son, just continue on allowing yourself to be empowered from within in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. It's in him. So that's strong in the grace. So that doesn't mean all he does is he appropriates the faith that is the source of the strength that is empowering him from within. So that word there, be strong, in dunamo, is also found in Ephesians 6:12, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might, put on the whole armor of God. So it's the same thing. To be strong, that is present, passive, imperative. Habitually allow yourself to receive and be empowered from within in union with the Lord and in the strength of his might. That strength that's imparted, that strength which takes dominion. So the Apostle Paul is only praying and instructing others what he himself already knows in his own life. So Hebrews 13:7, I mean, the weight on all this, everything you heard today, the weight of responsibility is on me. to begin is God provides opportunity. And I no longer look at this as some impossible burden, but regardless of the, what appears to be like death and limitation, because that's what you're kind of aware of, you know, it's like this is like death, it's impossible, is Hebrews 13, verse 7, remember those who led you. It's the same word found in Hebrews 13, 17. Remember those who led you as under shepherds, who spoke the word of God to you, considering the outcome, the end of their way of life. Imitate their faith. So I'm looking for that outcome to be increased so there's something for you to imitate. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me even as I am of Christ. So my responsibility is that you all have something to imitate. So this that you're today is, in other words, I can't be speaking this as something I'm expecting from you. It's first an expectancy is put on me, where Paul says, mark those that have us as an example and follow them. So there has to be the example. So I'm just going to step out as if God means what he says. That's all. Just, well, that's for them. And we're over here in poverty, and we just have to accept this. Woe is me. Well, I'm not going to accept it any longer. There's higher ground.
Remember Major his famous phrase is, assume his adequacy.
Yeah.
Assume it. Get up in the morning, take and say thank you. Lord Jesus, you live in me. Here's another new day for you to live your life through me, and I assume your adequacy every moment of the day.
So.
Because you do what you say, and you are who you say you are.
Yeah.
And you said you gave yourself to me in the person of the Holy Spirit, so have at it.
Here I am.
And see, I think what I've been thinking is the kind of some of the bottom line, I believe, I can only imagine for others, just for myself, it is a matter of discipleship and absolute surrender. Because I think, Connie, you were referring to that. That, you know, years ago when you said, I don't want to live a small life. You know, that was a new step of surrender. And that's what the Lord's been challenging me with, too. And so it's discipleship, because the Lord already tells us that if we want to be his disciple, we've got to count the cost. And the Lord keeps taking us further and deeper, so there's more cost as we go on. But he already told us in honesty, you want to follow me, you're going to lose your life. But you're going to gain it. Right, because we never lose with him. He's always good. He always has the much more. And so, but he says, if you don't, in comparison to your love for me, if you don't hate these relatives of yours and your own self, you cannot be my disciple.
Yes. I mean,
that's radical, but that is what the Lord Jesus invites us to.
Not following him as disciples.
Right, yeah. Right. So, and I just say, wow, there's just a deeper level of discipleship, even a deeper level of responding to that work that he's doing within, because he is always the initiator. We can't take the credit for that. He's the one that calls us to go deeper with him, that we might rule and reign with him.
Yeah. And I think this last week made for me is the call to go deeper, but he had to take me deeper. And you know, if people say, well, you know, if you go to have a vacation, wouldn't you expect to have a vacation? Well, you know what? God determines what happens. And he didn't say, you're not there for your pleasure. You're there for mine. And I just kept saying yes. I said, I don't know what all this means, but I choose for you to continue doing whatever you need to do. So at the beam seat of Jesus Christ, there'll be nothing consumed. And you can kind of understand Paul a little bit towards the end of his life. He says, all those in Asia have forsaken me. He didn't say they forsook Jesus. They've forsaken him. Why? Because he represents a standard to which they said, this is too much. I'll take my fire insurance. This is where I stop. Fire insurance is good enough for me. Having forsaken me, gone off to Thessalonica. See, that's Demas. So we're determined to run the whole gamut and not be considering our own lives as dear to ourselves. But as Paul says, you know, death works in me, but life in you. He says, I had the sentence of death in myself, and in order that I might not trust in myself, but in God who raises the dead. So Paul had to experience many deaths and resurrection, and we see that in 2 Corinthians. So I think for serious Christians who are alive to the Spirit of God and who are seeking to what it means to follow the Lord fully, like we see Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb had a perfect heart. They were different from that first generation. They were willing to follow the Lord their God fully. For those that have a heart to follow the Lord their God fully, like Joshua and Caleb, then there's a corresponding, there was a corresponding 40 years in the wilderness with those who never made it into the inheritance. They had to go through what Moses went through. And then when the next generation was ready to go in, Joshua and Caleb were, of course, trained and ready. So I think the question is there a new generation that God is going to raise up? And if there is, and I believe there definitely is, I believe there are young people out there that are just waiting to get out of churchianity into the real thing. God's going to need to have in place some Joshua and Calebs who have understood something what it has meant 40 years in the wilderness with Moses, what it means to follow the Lord their God fully. So anything else? Any other thoughts or questions? Okay. So Father, we thank you for the challenge of faith. We thank you that your goal is and purpose is not to leave us where we are, but that we might grow up into Christ with reference to all things. Like Paul is our example, I press for the mark, I pursue for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We thank you we have examples like that. We thank you we have spiritual fathers in the Lord that you've given to us to mentor us through the years. And so we're just seeking to follow, be among those who follow the Lord our God fully. We take that as your grace provision for each one of us. So we ask you to prepare us for this follow-up to our time today as we gather again later on this evening. We pray in Jesus' name.